Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
There's a general consensus that most people suffer from low self-esteem, and great effort is put towards building self-esteem by thinking positive, accepting self, and surrounding yourself with things that make you feel good. But what does this all mean for the Christian when the Bible says that our confidence is in Christ? Today, we are looking at how the esteem of self can rob God of His place on the throne of our hearts. So join in the conversation as we discover who we really are in our true identity. Now, Janie, I agree that many people suffer from low self-esteem and low self-worth. You can look at the way people are choosing destructive behaviors and habits and lifestyles that more destroy their life than promote their lives. But a Christian who thinks that they need to build their self-esteem has either not been taught or not understood really who they are in Christ, because it has nothing to do with self.
Well, and for a low self-esteem, we basically have a problem of not knowing the Word of God, not understanding our God as our Creator, who has already provided for us the perfect esteem that He wants us to carry through this life as well as through eternity, and that's because it's in Him.
Right, so we're not supposed to have self-esteem at all. And the word esteem means respect and admiration. So if we take the word self and replace it with Christ, then we can kind of see where we sit on the scale of knowing who we are in Christ. So if we say we have low self-esteem, we could say, okay, well, I have low Christ esteem in respect and admiration, because we really don't understand who we are in Christ.
Good point. And since He died for us on the cross, paid the price, gave us victory, resurrected to give us new life, new hope, eternal life, never having to see the second death, there is really no allowance for self-esteem in the Christian language or life. It's robbing God of who He is. It's just a lack of teaching. And you know, it can become very confusing because we're speaking to many people who may say, this is totally a foreign concept. Would you please give me a beginning on what you mean? I'm a refugee. I've been given this little radio, but I don't know what you mean about esteem and identity. I'm just trying to find food for the next day.
And survive.
And so we want to broaden our approach a little bit today, realizing that we're speaking to the world, and there is one solution for the world, not just one solution for Western civilization.
Amen.
And there is such a new craze to know who you are through ancestry.
Yes.
We've got
genealogy.
Yes, and we're going to go back and go to different graveyards and see what tombstones we can find.
DNA analysis, figure out where we came from.
And you know, with all due genuine sincerity for people who are searching, it's all about the past, and it's all about death, and it's nothing that we're going to be able to change. Some think that if they find out that maybe they were from a family of outlaws, or maybe they're from royalty, it will help how they feel about themselves.
Right.
Feelings doesn't really have anything to do with it. We're talking about what is truth and what we can rest our assurance on.
So we need to know what our true identity is.
That's right. And thank God, He is so gracious and so tenderhearted that in Ecclesiastes 3, I think it's around 11, He said, I have put eternity in their hearts. And then paraphrasing, but they're not going to understand what I'm doing. And I used to read that verse and think, well, What's fair about that? You're going to put eternity in our hearts, but then we're not going to know why it's there or what it's for. But as I waited on him, he pointed out that he had allowed this void or this little empty space in our being because it is like his calling card to us. It's saying, I am the way, I am the truth, and I'm not going to let you be content to go the wrong way. And so he allows things in our life, sometimes not always the most enjoyable, and we blame others, we blame him, we get angry at him, when he probably goes a big sigh, saying, I'm trying to draw you unto me. Would you listen?
Yeah.
And the sad part is, Sharon, most will not listen. Most will stay with their default system of, but I'm a success financially, or my looks give me my identity.
Or I got a bunch of initials after my name, so
I'm the intelligent one, and I don't need anybody else bumping in from the outside of my life. I know there is one gentleman by the name of Carl Sagan that may be known worldwide who says that everything that pertains to life is contained within a little box here on planet Earth. In other words, everything about life is within what's here on the earth. Mm-hmm. There's nothing afterwards. And that's why you don't need to acknowledge God as creation, because we'll just have to be our own God and figure our own things out here in this little box. And that has been taught in our colleges worldwide. And so that conception leads many people down a false road. Mm-hmm. And if there's not some awakening, then they're lost. So we want to make an appeal today to tell you that you have a prime need in your life. And needs usually don't come about by promotions and good things. We have the really good things, we're happy. A need comes about because there's a lack, there's a want. There's something in our senses that say things aren't right. There's something in our emotions that are troubled. And we don't have a sensing that we are really accepted or belonged. And even if we do belong to somebody, it's usually conditional based on what they're saying or thinking about us at the moment.
Right.
So I want to give us our first scripture today, and it is to point out to you that you've got a need, whether you recognize it or not. And it's found in Romans 3:10. It says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's no one who understands. There's no one who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Now, I can hear people right now going, whoa, now hang on. I do good works all the time. I contribute to charities. I give to the poor. I give my money here, or I do these things. Well, you may do it, and it may have a temporal benefit. But if your true identity is eternal, then you have to realize what you're working for and with is more than just 70 years. Right. And so
any identity built on what a person does produces a wrong identity.
That's right. And a wrong identity can create an eternal failure.
Right.
All right. So we need to know also that Isaiah 64:6 says, now hang on, folks, all our righteousness, righteousness is a nice big word for right standing with God, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. If we've rejected him, if we don't have a need for him, if we don't believe that he's the way and the truth, and then the last part of that verse says, and we all fade like a leaf. That shows you the temporalness of our lives apart from Jesus Christ. I can watch a leaf go from green to yellow to brown in 24 hours when it falls off the tree that was giving it life. And so that's not a very promising a proposal for somebody looking for a job. What's your identity? What's your character? Oh, I'm kind of filled with filthy rags, and I'm going to pass away real soon, and I can't seem to do anything right, and I don't do good, and I'm kind of unprofitable. Oh, that's your resume, and that's your identity. Next, please. You see, we need to find something lasting. And so we have to look and say this empty space is the God calling to fill.
And everyone has that, no matter how successful they are, no matter how much money, how many acronyms they have after their name, how many degrees they have laying on the wall. There is always that emptiness inside without Jesus Christ.
Yes. And then in the scriptures, if I have a problem and I have a need, I don't know about you, Sharon, but I want a solution.
Right.
And usually I'm not willing to wait, which is where the Lord has to discipline me, because he does say, wait upon the Lord. But for encouragement today, there is Acts 4:12. And it says, there is no name under heaven given among men by which you may be saved other than Jesus Christ. Since he is our creator, then it would stand to reason that we should be looking to him for our identity.
Right.
And the word of God that has lasted for millennia, and God the creator says it is his word, and he is the creator, says there's no other name by which you're going to have an identity
right.
that will be acceptable for your life other than Jesus Christ.
You know, I can remember before salvation recognizing that emptiness inside and needing that feel, not knowing what it was, but what is it going to take to feel that? And so you start trying to get more education, figure out who you are, get your genealogy, your ancestry. Maybe if I had more money, I would feel better about myself. But that emptiness can be filled with nothing but God.
And what is amazing is that that emptiness can be felt by a youngster. Mm-hmm. Not understanding the lordship of Jesus Christ, how he will rule and reign in all of your body and your life, but a child knowing something is missing. And there is just one drawback, though, about a child that accepts very early in life. They have not had a history of messing up and confessing up and messing up and confessing up and searching. They just know, I stole out of my mama's purse some money, or I took cookies when I wasn't supposed to. But you see, that void, that conscience is already at work. So we need to be aware that even as a young child, that Father God is drawing us. Because the Bible says in John 6:44 that no one can come unto Jesus Christ except the Father who sent him draws him, and I will raise him up in the last days. Okay, now right now there's identity, Sharon. We're going to be raised in the last days. We may know a temporal death. We may all die. The Bible has told us of the average life, 70. If you get another few, it'll probably be with some hardship. But that verse right there says you'll be raised up in the last day. And so that should give us hope as our identity. I don't have to be fearful that I've got 10 more years and I will have had my life expended. I'm eternal. So what happens when you recognize that you've been awakened and you have a need and you want to do something about it? Then there's grace, and grace says now you can make a choice. And there is a verse that is kind of our principal standby in Ephesians, and I do want to read it because it is essential to our identity. And it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. The identity that we grab hold of and claim is something that's given to us as a gift. We cannot earn our identity, as you were saying earlier, by your works, your degrees, your successes, your money. But it also, before that's in verse 8. And verse 9 says, it's not of works, lest anyone should boast. But there's some other neat identity things that are mentioned before this last verse. It starts off in 4, and it says, God, who is rich in mercy. Now, if he's given me my identity and I'm in him, then there's mercy in my identity. not only to me, but through me and extending out to others because of His great love, which He loved us. Sharon, do you know how many people are out there searching for love, settling for lust, or settling for compromise because they want to truly be loved, but to be loved, to fill that empty void, it's got to be Christ's love. It's got to be agape love. It can't be a selfish love. And if it's not of Christ, it does have self in it, even though it may have some good aspects. We love our families.
Right.
But agape love is the lasting love, and it's the love that can give us confidence in our identity. Then it explains to us how it happened, even when we were dead in trespasses. So that means a long time before we were ever a spark in our parents' desires, God had us on the main line.
Right.
He had us calculated as to how He wanted us to live together with Him, and by grace you are saved. And then, we won't understand this all today for the newer ones, but we were raised up together and made to sit together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. Now, that should make us just want to stop right now and run around the studio a couple of times. Wow, what a resume, what an identity He is already telling us there. And then if somebody wants to pursue this, just go to the next page, Ephesians 1, and start to see what He has said He has done for your identity. He's placed you in Christ before the foundations of the world, and He's done that in love. And then He has made you predestined to be His son, adopted into His family, a permanent family. No more homeless people. No more having to be adopted out by one family to be transferred 6 weeks later to another family, none of which really love you, but they want the money from the state. All right, but now we know we're truly loved. And we have been redeemed. Redeemed, how I love that word. We have been bought out of the slave market of sin, never to have to go back into bondage again. And He's done this and given us forgiveness of our sins. Do you know how many hospitals could empty their psychiatric wards if guilt over what they had done could be recognized and forgiven? All right. But we don't have that answer in the secular world.
Right.
And so only through Jesus Christ. And it goes on and on and on in Ephesians. If you want to just get a real spiritual high, then read Ephesians and see the potential. Actually, no, see the actual that is a potential to us today as we learn it out and live it out. We have to be before we can really start to do. It takes a while for us to learn who we really are.
Right.
Our identity is already established in Jesus Christ. Now we have to learn what it is and choose to operate in it.
And many of us maybe haven't even been taught or understood that there is a new identity. We know that we're new creatures in Christ, but we don't understand how that works. And so what does that mean, that I have an identity that's not based on my works or my deeds or what I do? It's based on Christ and who He is and who He's created me to be.
And you know, as wonderful as that is, some people will buck us because they want to keep what I call the default system. They want to keep their independent spirit. But the cross holds the answer for us, Sharon. Our new life comes to us fully equipped, just like a newborn baby is fully equipped, but is not operational in all of the parts that it has been given because the timing is not right. So when we come to the Lord in salvation, we come with baggage.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we don't know how to handle our baggage, it's too heavy, then we as Christians become discouraged, despondent, and we start to doubt. And as soon as we start to doubt, the life that we've been told we must live by faith then goes into a fear, and faith and fear cannot track on the same track. They're moving in the same direction. One's moving through the positive power of Jesus Christ and His Word. Fear is moving through my own understanding, my own logic and my reason. And the more I mess up, the greater my failures, the greater the fear, the greater the bondage. So we need to find out that that precious blood that was shed on the cross gave us freedom from our sins. S-I-N-S. But there was another thing going on the cross the day that Jesus hung there. He was having to deal with the old sin nature. S-I-N. Drop the other S. The sin that has the S on it is our actions, our deeds, our attitudes, the way we choose to live in our own strength itself. Okay? But then what prompts self? Well, the old sin nature. Now, the old sin nature is inherited from the Garden of Eden scenario with Satan and Adam. And that can't be forgiven. Will Satan ever repent?
No.
Will he ever see his need and be awakened and choose to serve the living God?
No.
So he has to be crucified. And in Romans 6:6, it tells us that we were co-crucified with Jesus Christ when he was on the cross. And that's sometimes hard for us to comprehend. We say, well, we weren't born then. Well, neither were you born when he paid for all your sins. But let me ask you a question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross?
Yes.
Okay. And you get that belief from reading the Word of God?
Yes.
Do you believe that there were two other thieves that were hanging on the cross that day?
Mm-hmm.
And then do you believe that Jesus Christ was resurrected according to 1 Corinthians 15?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and you got that from the Scripture?
Mm-hmm.
And you were raised into a new life? 2 Corinthians 5:17, mm-hmm. We are new creatures in Christ. Old things are gone, vamboosed. Behold, all things are new. We are new creatures in Christ if we choose to be, because we see the need that the void that has been placed in us by our Creator, so we would seek for Him. Does that wrap up kind of a nutshell of what we tried to get across today?
I hope so. It did for me.
Did it? Well, then why don't you go ahead and wrap us up, because I know in my heart that there are people today saying, I've never heard this before.
Well, Janie, I have a list here that I just want to go through, and I'm not going to give the scripture that goes with it because we just don't have time to do that. But I do want to just give a list of things that we are in Christ.
Okay.
This is, in Christ, I am justified, free from condemnation, adopted as God's child, marked as belonging to God, God's temple, a member of Christ's body, redeemed and forgiven, a citizen of heaven, a new creation, one body in Christ, free from the law of sin and death, inseparable from the love of God, a child of God, blessed with all spiritual blessings, His workmanship, a partaker of His promise, the recipient of everlasting life, raised up to sit with Christ in glory, a saint, complete, born of God, the salt and the light of the world, a branch of the true vine, a personal witness of Christ, a minister of reconciliation for God, God's co-worker. I am as Christ is, the righteousness of God made perfect forever.
I like your identification. And I hope that this has awakened some hearts that say, I want to know more.
Oh, me too. Because this is our true identity. And although it may be difficult to wrap our minds around, it is who Christ says we are because of His shed blood on the cross, because of His sacrifice on the cross. We have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith. But that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHearts.org. That's Sharon, SHARIN, Hearts, HEARTS.org.